Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Evening all. Welcome to the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap Podcast following NRL Supercoach Round 5. Tim Williams on deck this week. A not so familiar voice for this time of the week, I suppose. Whilst Carlos, the 2019 NRL Supercoach runner-up, out of action tonight. He's on family duties or something. He's had a big pre-season, a big start to the Supercoach season. Whilst, so a night off for him, so I'm stepping in, taking charge of the potty tonight. Slightly different approach to it on tonight's podcast. I know Walsh generally does a bit of a recap of the game from a general rugby league perspective, then goes into the Supercoach side of things. I'll be on the Bloke in the Bar podcast tomorrow, recapping every single game of the week, going in depth for about 4 hours into it. So just touching on the Supercoach stuff tonight, a little bit shorter, a little bit sharper, but hopefully give a bit of wisdom or a bit of a recap for the round of Supercoach that was. Getting in quickly to my side, picked a good week to jump on it for Wallace because a good week for the Cooper Stallions following up a decent one last week, 1,172 points. So really, really happy with that. I was, I think, 26, 27,000 going into the round, hoping that one can take me sort of towards the top 10K because looking across a few of the scores from the week, it's a really hard week to get a gauge. So for those that are curious potentially of like how I go about my Sunday night and how I go about my working out my Supercoach score, I'm in a few leagues with different content creators, podcasters, some really good super coaches. I go around and look at all those. I'm in 1,000 different leagues and work out, you know, how other teams have gone, work out what the median score for the round is approximately and sort of go from there. Really hard this week because of Black Friday, because of that Roosters and Bulldogs game essentially into a few other games that were quite impactful to Supercoach scoring. Going back to Black Friday, the Roosters and the Doggies, there was the Dom Young send-off. One of the most, I think he was the most traded in player about 2 weeks ago. He got sent off minus 14. I think he got downgraded to negative 16. I've seen a few captaincy people out there who had it on Dom Young. So they'll get negative 32 for him. So look, you add in the rain into that game, into the send off, just so, so bad. There's a lot of people out there who had Dom Young into James Tedesco, who had his early HA. I've seen teams out there that on top of that had Sam Walker, also got single digits. You add in Ruben Garrick, he got 1 point with an early HIA. Anyone who had Liam Henry in their team this week, an early HIA, it's just been one of the all-time rounds. Fortunately, the Stallions dodged a lot of that sort of drama. But for those out there that did and they want to throw in the towel, just know that there'll be a point this season where you dodge your injuries and what goes around comes around, one of those sorts of setups. So don't throw in the towel yet. Things will come good. Unfortunately, it is part of Supercoach. So you've got to cop those ones on the chin. It can be a tough one to stomach, but guys, it, have faith. But yeah, so off the back of that, I've seen it's really hard to gauge the median score. I've seen scores as low as like 700 to some really good Supercoach players out there who have just had no luck with those injuries. I've seen scores as high as 1,300, some really big ones. So I don't know what the average score for the round will be. Lockout will finish tomorrow morning and we'll know from there. All right, anyway, guys, let's get stuck into the recaps for the week. We'll start with the Storm against the Broncos. Basically just going to go down the top Supercoach scores down to the bottom for each team, and we'll do it via that. Starting with Eli Katoa with 110 points on top of Jerome Hughes, 108 points. So their combination, look, we've seen it blossoming over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, really getting better and better. The more time these two spend on the field together, the more Eli Katoa certainly becomes a pod. He was fantastic, strolled over for a couple of tries in this game. A really, really good buy. I know a few jumped on him this week. Harry Grant, 79, bounced back after a pretty slow start to the season for him. So, again, another one that I know I'm certainly eyeing off at some stage. We'll get to Danny Levi, the greatest try scorer in what will be rugby league history by the time he finishes his career. But a Levi to Grant trade in coming weeks. If Levi can keep scoring tries at this rate, holy dooly. Ryan Pappenhausen with 50 points in this one. Look, not what Pappenhausen owners would have wanted coming into it. Perhaps with a break even of negative six, his 132 against the Warriors a couple of weeks back, that's going to drop out of his rolling average after this. So, look, he'll make some decent coin this week, 40 to 50-odd K. He'll sit him at around about 740K. The signs were good, though. Look, he looks promising. He had a really nice try assist in this game. I think the points will come. I believe there's some softer games to come for the Melbourne Storm. So, look, you'd be happy enough with Pappenhausen despite not really notching the score in this one. Going over to the Brisbane Broncos, far out. I had a lot of messages about Jesse Arthurs. I reluctantly sold him this week as a part of my boost. And that was, oh God, there's a lot that went on to this. Originally, I was getting in Joey Manu, and I just wanted to strengthen up my CT dub a little bit this week. So I got rid of Jesse Arthurs because, firstly, the tough matchup against the Storm, but just with Reece Walsh being injured, he wasn't getting sort of the really good service from Walsh while he's out. Came out with 81 points, looked outstanding. He's such a good footballer. And despite the Supercoach knock for the Stallions, I wouldn't have played him in my 17 anyway, but I just rate him so much as a footballer. So really have seen him do well. He bottled one over the line, an absolute given try. That would have been a try, a line break. He's 81. He actually down-dated a little bit from updates. He would have been over 100 if he got that. So, look, 81 I can live with. While I have sold him, there's a bit of chat that Reece Walsh might be back next week. The Broncos, who have had a seriously tough start to the year, Arthurs, like, he could be a buy again. And it pains me to say that, but he really could. The other thing, Dean Mariner has a back injury, I think it was, from the weekend. So if he's out for a period, there's also a chance that Arthurs goes to the right wing, the place you want to be at the Broncos, when Reece Walsh is on deck, because he favours that right side a lot. So, look, I'm not against Jesse Arthurs getting him again down the track. But for now, look, it's worked out okay. But yeah, I was a little bit sorry to see him go with the way he played in that fixture. In terms of the sort of with the Payne-Haas injury and the Piakura, who are going to get minutes from the Broncos pack, look, Kobe Hetherington, 27 points, Fletcher Baker, 27, Hunt, he got 32 points, so no one's really benefited. Corey Jensen, 47 points, I should say. Nothing overly ping there. Ben Takura, the world's largest man. I think he's the tallest player to ever play in the NRL. I saw a stat today. Unverified, unconfirmed, I should say, but he looked at goods, didn't he? As long as he's got the, I do have concern for how he's going to go with that mobility around the middle of the ruck at that size. But look, so far, so good. Maybe he just ends up being an impact player off the bench in short stints, but he was good, so keep an eye on him. He won't have a price rise for a couple of weeks. Obviously, Payne has to come back in a few weeks as well, so don't go early on to Kura after his 57-pointer. Doggies and Roosters, Matty Burton, 147 points. Really good to see Birdo hit some form here, not just Supercoach-wise, of course, NRL-wise. Look, the jury's still out on whether or not he's a 5'8 or not. Even his three tries he scored, all I was seeing in those tries was a centre, a hard-running, line-running centre, getting over the line, some good support play. I'm not sure, but for the, geez, it wouldn't be much Supercoach ownership wise on Birdo. If you are, you're probably going pretty low down the ladder. 5% of teams with Birdo at 147 points. Sam Williams, I believe, is one of those owners. So he'd be going all right this week. Sammy Hughes, 72 points. Look, this game was just, it was a mess because Connor Tracy had his injury. There was so much that went on in this fixture. Blake Taff had his pretty nasty concussion, which saw Dom Young get sent off in that one. So I think Salmon went to the edge in this one or into the outside backs, as he tends to do when there is an injury in the back line. So Sammy Hughes played bigger minutes, just looked awesome. Scored a try. Let's go through his stats here. Sammy Hughes, so he had try, 23 tackles, 4 tackle busts, no offloads in there, a line break, 11 runs. So great signs for Hughesy. look, with injuries to Kurt Mann, got hurt in this run, there was a broken hand. Curran passed to HIA for his 60 points. I'm hoping by the time a lot of people listen to this, Curran's been updated in round six with dual front row forward, 2RF positioning. If he does, he ended up getting moved to the bench for the start of the game and came on through the middle as he has been doing, Curran. So Curran with that dual front row, second row, if he does in fact get that, I think he will. That is enormous. He is basically, his value to me doubles the fact that I can play him at front row forward moving forward. So yeah, a really big one there. Joey Hutchinson, 34 points, move him on to basically Nathan Cleary when Cleary's back on deck. At the Roosters, thank you for all the concerning messages around Joey Manu. Look, with the wet weather in Sydney, I think they had 145 mils in 24 hours. It was just a bog. I got scared off Manu. You know, he had Stephen Crichton defending on him, one of the best defensive centers in the game, if not the best. Next week, he's got Bradman Best, speaking of, on him as well. So another great defensive center. I went cold. It was all good and well until Teddy went off injured. Manu was on about 16, if that. It might have been less at halftime. We all know Joey Manu, when he's at fullback, he's one of the best Supercoach players in the game, turned into 108 and was just in everything. So, well, Joey Manu is going to be a great buy this week. The Roosters have some okay games coming up. I think it's the 90s up in Newcastle next week. So not the easiest one, but yeah, Joey Manu, he'll be a great buy. He'll go up a reasonable amount this week, probably 20 to probably at 30K approximately. That'll sit him at around that 670, 680K mark. Still a very decent purchase. And yeah, look, with games against, look, sorry, I take that back. They've got the Knights in Newcastle, into Melbourne in Sydney, Dragons in Sydney, Broncos, Warriors, Sharks. So it's not that easy, but look, Joey Manu has shown that he can score well against any opposition. Angus Crichton, 83 points. Look, he was 409K going into the round, a break even of 75, so he'll sit around about that again. Just looking really good. I'm not going to say he's back to his best, because his best is the Kangaroos back rower, and he's phenomenal. But look at that price. I'll probably give him one more week, watch him do it again, see him get through the minutes. But look, he looks like he's going to be a great buy moving forward in coming weeks. Now, as I said, guys, you move down to James Tedesco, Dom Young, minus 15 for Dom Young, James Tedesco 4, Sammy Walker 3. Unfortunately, injuries happen. There's not much you can do about that. Terrell May, 21 points. Where did that come from? Look, I think that's probably come from the send-off and everything that's gone on, injuries in the back line. Sualee left the field for a while there as well. I reckon that's just impacted the forward rotations and just the way, like, Terrell May coming off the bench, had his stint, then went off. I think it was just basically misfortune in terms of his minutes. I wouldn't be concerned about that for 1 week at all. He's a terrific footballer. Trent Robinson loves him, to my knowledge. So, yeah, a bad week, but due to circumstances outside of his control. Knights and Dragons, 30-10 Knights over the Red V. Kalen Ponga, 117. Seriously, like, I had him locked in as my captain all week, and then when the rain was coming through, you saw the conditions up in Newcastle. For Ponga to put 117 on in those conditions was just outstanding. A very, very happy owner of KP. So he's 829K. Leading into this week, he dropped 63K. He had a break even of 42. So whatever that equates to as a price change, it'll be around about probably 60 to 70K. He'll be back to his starting price before you know it once this lockout ends. So very happy Kalen Ponga owner. And look, he's getting back towards his best, what we saw in the back end of last year. If he can put 117 points on in those conditions, albeit against the Dragons, look out. Dylan Lucas, 93 on the edge, filling in for Tyson Frizzell. Unless we get word that Frizzell's out for like 3-4 weeks plus, I wouldn't be going sort of near that one. Inari Tuala on the left wing, 80 points. He's been awesome the last few weeks, just in that gold mine on the left wing for the Knights. But with Greggy Marju due back next week, Tuala likely goes back to the right, which is not diabolical. We saw what Dane Gagai did for Dom Young last year, but I do think you want him on the left. Kaipi's pulled down dated from 58 to about 50. Look, still a solid enough scorer, particularly in those conditions. Just cannot buy an attacking stat to save himself, Pierce Paul. But look, if you bought him last week, you'd be really relatively happy with that one. So no major concerns. At the Dragons, Zach Lomax just keeps getting it done. Fair dinkum. 112 points, a try assist, six tackle bars, five offloads, four of them effective. Line break, line assist, 22 runs. Just the gift that keeps on giving. That's with one goal to his name in those conditions. So, yeah, you just can't knock Zachy Lomax at all. Owners would be cheering. Non-owners have to start looking very seriously at him. I've always said I don't love going for, you know, outside backs, no matter how good their base is and their base and power, just when it limits their attacking upside, I hate it. But, oh, God, Lomax looking phenomenal. So, yeah, really, really good buy there. Rabbitohs and the Warriors. Warriors 34-4 over the Bunnies. They were not far off even money leading this game. I've no idea how, but the Warriors did with the Bunnies what they should have. Start with the Bunnies. Latrell Mitchell, 73 points. He's said to be rubbed out for 3 to 4 weeks for, I think it was, a dangerous contact or whatever the exact definition of it was. But fortunately, he went off for owners with 73 points, so not too bad there, but get rid of him. You can't go near any of the Bunnies players really at the moment. Jackie Whiten, who was outstanding last week, backed it up with 62 points, which is certainly solid. We need to see something before we go anything near them. Jai Gray, really promising rookie at the Bunnies, likely to come in at fullback next week and will be a big, big watch at bottom dollar for his NRL debut. Moving over to the Warriors, Sean Johnson. Oh, God, I was tempted to go to him, but I needed to strengthen my CT dub a little bit more importantly. But SJ 112, the Warriors have a really good draw coming up. What's he at? So his price leading to the end at a really good price at 662K. I think I had, there'd been 8 conversions that Metcalf had that Johnson would have had, and it would have bumped his average up by 5, sort of 10 points. Back goal kicking full time. Games upcoming against Manly over New Zealand, Dragons, Titans, Knights. Oh, it's a good draw. SJ, real pod, 9% of teams at the moment. So, SJ, if you got a slot at halfback, which I think most of us do at the moment, a lot of Drury Hutchison owners out there might be tempted to go early. Obviously, you have to factor in Nathan Cleary into your plans, who's due back after the bye in round 7. But, look, maybe you don't have to get Cleary straight away. I'm not sure, but SJ, really, really tempting there. Tamari Martin, 98 in his first game of the season. He's just 363K, draw 5'8 fullback. Look, not notoriously a great Supercoach player, but if he comes out next week and scores well again, we're going to have to think long and hard about him. Charles Nicol-Cookstad, first game of the season, 88 points, terrific. Fanua Blake, 68, solid as a rock. Tuivasa-Sheck, 61 on the right wing he ended up playing. So Pompey got named on the right wing when Dallin got ruled out. Pompey ended up moving to centre. Tuivasa-Sheck started on the right wing. Roger, he is just scratching the surface of some big scores this year. Him and Val remind me a lot of each other, just like outside backs, big work rates, tackle busters in everything. There, he's going to have some big ones. They are coming, and the more games he can play on the right wing, the better. But Dallin is due back next week there. Seagulls with a huge upset against the Panthers. 32 points to 18. Chez, Daly, Cherry Evans, 128 points. Manly, God, they're hard to get a gauge on at the moment, but there's a, I don't want to say premiership winning side in them, but look, they've just shown that when they're at their best, they're such an attacking juggernaut. They're a really good football side. So if they can just produce some consistency and do it week in, week out, they've got so much potential in there, and they're great to watch when they do. Look, Chez went huge, but leading this week, he was averaging 56. I wouldn't buy him, but with Ruben Garrett getting his one and that early failed HIA, Chess will kick goals next week. They've got the Warriors open NZ though, so a tough matchup. Tommy Turbo, a very happy holder of Turbo, never even thought about getting rid of him. I think anyone that did get rid of him, seeing him get 111 against the Panthers, will be kicking themselves a little bit. That being said, I know two that did were the Guru and the Supercoach Spy, who went to Scotty Drinkwater, who was about 140-odd, so who I think they both captained as well. So they'd be licking their lips at that one and getting Scotty D in there. So a good move, certainly, but Tommy Turbo, seriously, give or take, maybe missing games around Origin. I don't want to get rid of him all year, Turbo. There's not many fullbacks who put 111 points on the Penny Panthers. Oluquatu, 76, remains a terrific buy. Luke Brooks, this game on the weekend, I was so concerned with like wet weather predicted. It did clear up by game time. But Turbo, who people had sold at top dollar, Luke Brooks, who I owned, really concerned about this game. When Luke Brooks put Tommy Turbo for a try, threw for a try early on, that was so, so satisfying. They both went to about 40 and 50 almost immediately. And you know what? If nothing else happens, I will take it. Brooks went on to score about another 4 points in the rest of the game, but he ended up in 55. So happy days with that one. Benny Chaboyevich, 48 points, played the 80 minutes. Again, impacted by injury, so I wouldn't necessarily expect that every week, but you know, if there was a bad loss here, Burbo, his starting spot might have been in jeopardy a little bit, but did a solid job. So good news for him, sort of stemmed any cash leakage there. And I'm hoping that there's more cash to be made in there. Dill Edwards grows another leg with Nathan Cleary out, backed up last week's big score with another 119. Isaiah Yeo, phenomenally consistent. I spoke about him on beers and break-evens during the week, but he was averaging 75 going into this week, basically playing his 80 minutes each and every week, 79. God, if you started with him, not many would have, but just so, so reliable. Taylan May, I stuck up for him last week on the podcast, and I said he'd be mad to sell him. 38 points. He was on 42 before the updates came in, or in this case, down dates. He had two offloads to be dated. Just checking. Yep. So they were both effective offloads. So I thought 42, sweet. Gets those added. He'll be 46 minimum. Hopefully gets to 50. He down dated 38. So look, at his price, I'm sticking by him. Who's their draw to come? They've had a tough draw to start the year. Melbourne, Para, Broncos, Roosters into a red-hot Manly side on the weekend. Goes into the Tigers, the Cowboys who can't defend, Bunnies, Bulldogs. There's not a chance I'm selling him, but geez, he needs to lift. Liam Henry, negative 1 point. Look, that sucks for owners. I was filthy that I missed out on Liam Henry. He went into this week with a negative 6 break even, good money incoming, a projected score of 41 would have netted him 40K. Still, even with James Fisher-Harris back, would have got half decent minutes, a bit more cash incoming, and just a really solid, if not second front row forward play, a just reserve front row forward to have in your team. And it's just stuffed his cash growth. So again, the highs and lows of Supercoach, you can't win them all. Unfortunately, these things happen. But yeah, that early HIA just did him in.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Dolphins, 26, getting the job done over the Tigers, 16. Jeremy Marshall-King, 70, being rock solid this year. For anyone who jumped on JMK early on, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, 58, solid enough, negative one break even. So 50-odd K coming in for him will take him to about 740K. He has that 112 in his rolling average for another week. So his break even will still be low. But this is where it gets tough. He has the Broncos this week into the Eels in Darwin, the Knights at Suncorp Stadium after that. So it's to no fault of his own, Hammer, because he's been terrific this year. I started with him, absolutely thrilled with it. He's had a soft draw to start the year with the Finns. I think there's going to be some low scores in him. Obviously, he's a hold this week. If he scores well against Brisbane, all right, we're looking at potentially keeper territory. Just want to see him do it against a stronger outfit. But the Dolphins also, like Tommy Flegler got hurt. They had numerous injuries in this game. Herbie Farmworth. So as their team gets weak with injuries, it's all going to hurt Hammer as well. So look, let's hold, reassess after this week. If he scores well against the Broncos, hang tight. If he doesn't, there'll be that big decision to make. Do we cash out at that, you know, hopefully onwards of 800K, probably close to 750. But yeah, nonetheless, he's done a terrific job so far, the Hammer. With Tommy Flegler injured, it was an AC joint injury on the weekend. So scans will determine how long that's out for. I think AC joints, obviously depending on severity, but tend to be around that 4 to 6 week range. But if Flegler's out long term, Josh Kerr, I jumped on him last week and he's been terrific so far. He's just got so much attacking upside for a front rower. And if Flegler is out, this could mean good things for the minutes of Josh Kerr, who could see himself playing 45 to 50, but maybe being slightly optimistic, but there's no reason why he shouldn't. 23 tackles, 2 tackle busts, 2 offloads. He had 13 runs, so pretty good numbers. Really happy with Curry at the moment, and he's an indefinite hold with the injury to Flegler. Of course, we'll see what happens there. Bo Stock, 50, had a nice try assist in this one. Negative 41 break even. Look, he makes another 80-odd K this week. Fantastic. He'll be a sell in probably a couple of weeks' time for hopefully 500K plus. Thank you. Over at the Tigers, Stefano Udakamanu. God, he's going good, isn't he? 84 points, 34 tackles, 5 tackle busts, 2 offloads, he had a line break, 16 runs, good numbers. Oh, tell you what. Yeah, look, if anyone who jumped on Stefano, what's he at? 2% of teams in that all-important, not all-important, but the struggle of the front row this season. Averaging 55 leading into this week, so bumping that up. A nice little pickup for anyone who did. Yeah, going well, Stefano. Got tons else to talk about at the Tigers at the moment. Appy got a late-ish try assist in that one, got him through to 60 points. So look, he needed it. If he didn't, he would have been on 40 after his 44 last week. Yeah, interesting couple of weeks for Appy. He's a borderline keeper, but when you look at like, I still think Harry Green is comfortably going to be the top scoring, not necessarily comfortably, but the best hooker in Supercoach this year. Look, Reece Robson is killing it. There's a few others doing well there as well. So two not overly enticing or impressive weeks for Appy, but certainly wouldn't be panicking at this stage. You know, panic with 60 points. But yeah, give him a couple of weeks and just determine whether or not he's a move on to Harry Grant or whether we think he's going to be a hold longer term. Samuel Afainu. Really good cash cow for those who jumped on there. He had a break even of 11 coming to this week again. Oh, what a terrible round of Supercoach for injuries and HAs, all that sort of thing. 12 points, stunts his cash growth, an absolute shocker there. On to today's games. Cowboys 35, Titans 22. We knew this was going to be a high scorer. And Scotty D, God, I love watching this bloke play footy, 139 points. Pained him as a little bit as a non-owner, but he did set up a try for my boy Reece Robson. So that made me happy. But yeah, look, at 8% of teams leading into this round. He was averaging 73 before this. Oh God, he's got keeper written all over him, doesn't he? I really do. I'm starting to think the Cowboys are just flat track bullies. I mean, even in this one, the Titans, who were abysmal, they still conceded 22 points. I'm not convinced by them. When they start coming into some harder games, which is from next week, they go the Eels into the Sharks. Not horrible, but Parramatta's conceded, 41 points to the Raiders? Seriously, trying to predict the NRL this year, tough going. But still, Para at Combank, where they're a different outfit. Sharks at Shark Park into Penrith. 3 tougher weeks. Look, you're laughing if you own Scotty Drinkwater. Would I be rushing to get him? Probably not. Just like Ponga's firing. Turbo was great on the weekend. If you're a Tedesco owner, a nice little switch to Scotty D would be a nice move. Reece Robson, God, he's the gift that just keeps on giving. Averaged 68 leading into this round. His score of 103 before updates, that'll shoot that average up to sort of 75, 80 odd. Just been wonderful. Basically, hold on to him until he gives you a reason not to, because as long as the Cowboys are winning games and playing good footy and the forward pack's rolling forward, Robbo's going to keep scoring. Val Holmes, he was one that I backflipped on Manu to and got Val in. Had that early try assist, which was wonderful for Taulani. I sort of watched the rest of the game. He's kicked a few goals, but he hasn't done much. Val, 81 points. So try assist, 5 goals. He had 8 tackles, 5 tackle busts, a line break, a line assist, an ineffective offload, which should hopefully update. 13 runs. Particularly low, actually, for Val's standards, but he's just a super coach, Adonis. Absolutely love him in the CTW. I'm so happy with the purchase. Would I have preferred Manu? Yes. Yes, I probably would have. Taumalolo, anyone who still owns him out there, 33 points. Look, he was all set, I reckon, to do his standard first. I think he played the first 19 minutes and not come back on. And when there was the late Chad Townsend sin binning, tried to get themselves back into the game, they sent him back on the field. I reckon he wasn't going to come back on if it wasn't for that. And then I had 25 points in a 35-point win, 35 points on the board, I should say. Tommy Dearden in this one, 24 points. I just couldn't get amongst the attacking action. It was the Scotty Drinkwater show, so 12% of owners there, and just a shocker, but look, he looked decent regardless, just couldn't get the attacking stats fall his way. The Titans are entirely irrelevant at the moment, except for the big fella. Dave Fifita, 76 points in this one. Look, what's he at? So he scored, I think it was 57 last week. He's going to have a huge break even when lockout ends this week. He's going to drop some cash, but he's going to be a buy. He really is, no matter how bad the Titans are, because they're just going to send more and more attack at him. What killed this game for that left edge of the Titans, including for Fifita, was just poor old Kieran Foran going off injured. I think he went off just before halftime. He just unlocks the left edge. He unlocks for Fifita. So that's what we need to watch. But basically about the only relevant really one there. Jaden Campbell, 53 points, solid enough. But again, the way the Titans are going, no thanks. On to the form team in the competition, the mighty Canberra Raiders, up the mighty milk. 41 points, Parramatta 8, you bloody ripper. Ethan Strange, 93 points. I played in my side this week, almost out of a bit of necessity, just with Nico Hines on the bye, a few other things going on. He got a try assist for the Xavier Savage try, and God, I hope he holds it, because it'll be a try assist line assist for 20 points over a try contribution, which will be worth 4 points. So he'll drop 16 from that if he doesn't get it. Basically, they shifted from their own end, and he basically just tipped on to, who would it have been? I think it was Hudson Young was at centre at that point. Tipped on to Savage. Savage ran the field and finished off and scored. They do tend to award that the Supercoach scores when no one really has an impact on the play to the person who throws the second last ball, not so much the tip-on guy in Hudson Young. So hoping it stays that way, but time will tell. Regardless, a great outing from Ethan Strange, a really strong score there. Matty Timico, 125 points. Far out. That spider's on him. Parramatta did not want to tackle him. He averaged 62 coming into this round. Look, the way Parramatta are playing, Parramatta, the Raiders are playing, Pod, he always is a pod, Mokes, but he's got low ones in him. Rock solid this year, 56, 91, 57, 43. He does tend to have lines, but look, he's looking phenomenal. Just re-signed with the Raiders. So happy days there. James Schiller, 108 points. So that was his second game of the season. Scored 77 last week. Does he keep his spot? Look, in attack, he's been phenomenal. Defensively, he hasn't been the best. So there's been a poor few reads there. Albert Hopper, wide A, due back next week. Look, if he keeps his spot at 238K, he's going to have a break-even of about negative 50, possibly less. Like, big money incoming. Let's just see. If Hopper Whitey comes back and takes his spot, we can reassess. But, God, he's going to be hard to ignore, Schiller. Xavier Savage, 90. Look, didn't have a great week last week. I just think if he had a poor game today, he could have been out of the team, and it could have been like Hop Whitey coming back on one wing and Schiller on the other, but he was terrific. Savage had a really good game, slotted in at fullback for a little bit while Rapper was off injured with what looked like a potentially serious knee injury, and he got through that okay. So, yeah, he was terrific, Savage. He holds that spot. Owners think be thrilled. Good money injected back into him. Morgan Smithies, I think he went the full 80 in this one. Breaking news, he had an offload. He went into contact, had people on him, and he popped the ball free for a four-point offload. I think it's his first offload in the NRL. It could be his last. Tackle break check. Zero tackle breaks. Sorry, that was Tarpany. Zero tackle breaks, Morgan Smithies. What you see is what you get. 38 tackles. He had 18 runs. There's no flair about him, but 64 points. Good ones coming in. Danny Levi, a.k.a. Ken Irvine. I think it's his fourth try. Equal top try scorer for the Raiders this year. 41 points with that try backing up. Anyone out there who says they're a genius and they knew Levi was going to go good and score tries, you're a bald-faced liar. Just enjoy the ride while we've got more money incoming for him. Happy days. Would never want to play him in my 17. Over at the Eels to wrap it up, Dylan Brown. He got that late try assist. I paid up for him, I think, a week or two ago when Cleary went down injured. Just at number 7, it's like he... to no knock of his own, but he's just too preoccupied with trying to organise the team and run the show and get them around the park, and running just takes a back seat to it and all the good things that come with his super coach. So, as I said, late tries for Sivo got him to 44 before updates. Very concerning, very concerning. What's the Eels draw to come? They've had some decent games early, so there should be some tough ones coming up. Cowboys next week, take that. Dolphins, Manly. Okay, probably holding strong with that, but yeah, he's less than impressive at the moment. Dill Brown, Blaise Talangi, you're unless probably the trade-ins this week, 25 points. You're beating 41-8, not surprising. We just need him to hold his spot for a couple of weeks because there's good cash incoming, but if he loses his spot, which after that result wouldn't surprise me, I think they'll probably give him another week, whether he slots back to the centres, I don't know. I'm a massive Dion Arce fan. I'd be giving Dion Arce a crack in the halves, even if you push Talangi back to the centre where he killed it a few weeks ago. Joey Lussick, 39 points. I think he played the full 80 as well. He's going to drop cash this week. Time's probably up with Joey. After this result as well, wouldn't be surprised if Brendan Hands finds himself on the bench next week as well. Anyway, guys, that is a wrap for the Weekly Wrap podcast this week. The man, the myth, the legend, Walsh Carlos, will be back on deck next week. It is my Monday morning listen each and every week on my way into the Bloke in a Bar podcast. Listen to Walsh talk. He's one of the sharpest footy minds in rugby league circles, not just supercoach circles. He's an absolute gun, very humble fella, but he was a gun footballer back in his way. He was wedged behind a bloke by the name of Cameron Smith as a number 9 coming through Queensland Rugby League. But gun footballer, gun mind, and on top of that, an even better bloke, Walsh Carlos. So he'll be back next week, and I'll be looking forward to it. Cheers, guys. Hope you had a great weekend, and let's look forward to NRL Supercoach Round 6.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.